Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
That is right. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for enjoying Rangers baseball throughout the afternoon. Hopefully it's a little bit more entertaining tomorrow night in the form of offensive production, but a lot has been going on with your Dallas Cowboys. Let's talk about it. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. I'm preferring that Stella Artois 0.0
That's
right now.
Stuff.
It's a heck of a beverage.
Yeah.
There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champ. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup, fixed to go 2+ flawless this afternoon. We'll go all the way till 7 o'clock. Then Fred and Blake are going to take over with Fred's questionable hygiene. We'll get more into that coming
not happy
up
with Brian.
At 6:45.
Yeah.
I think Brian has a good point. If you ask me, there's Woolchuck and Chia. Follow, of course, Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You could watch us at 105thethefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube.
Yeah,
I got your back.
I appreciate that. You know, Freddie was trying to come in here and like kind of muscle me up a little
bit. He was. He was trying to intimidate you.
He's trying to intimidate me. I sat on the couch. I wanted nothing to do with it. And then he's like, oh, no, I don't have a hygiene problem. I'd say, yeah, as you do the show and say goodnight, Houston, and flip your toothpicks into the middle of the broadcast area, I'd say you have a little hygiene problem. And he likes to wear the muscle shirts, hair all over the place.
Armpits.
Don't tell him.
Pits are out, man.
His back hair is getting all over the chairs and stuff.
Probably back sweat, too, straight
back
from the
sweat,
gym.
Yeah.
Oh, the back knee.
So, how many, like, red bellies do you think he dealt out over the course of his middle school and high school days?
Oh,
how many swirlies were dished out?
He was definitely a bully.
Oh, my gosh.
The wedgie?
Man.
Is that still a thing?
Oh, the big wedgie.
He was called in the principal's office quite a bit, I bet.
Of course.
You know Fred was a bully for sure.
But all the lunches on the school ground.
He literally
was on the smoking porch a lot.
He literally
in elementary school.
But he pointed to this workstation right here and said, "Have you ever heard anybody complain about my on the job hygiene?"
Yeah,
and that's when Broadus windmill dunked on him with two nights in a row toothpicks on the console,
Facts.
Bro.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you standing up for the hygiene of this spot.
Yeah.
Dak on Parsons saying it'll be painful to sack him. He had a lot to say. Yeah. He said, I hope he doesn't get me. It'll be fun. He said it's one him and his fiance have been talking about, just all the reps at practice when he couldn't hit me. And he'd be talking trash. And Dak would always say, you still couldn't bring me down. So he's looking forward to that, but says he's got five guys up front plus tight ends and running backs that Mike has got to get through. And then we'll worry about if he can get to me. So I do think it's incumbent upon the Cowboys to not give Micah much of a chance because you're running the ball so well. Like, watching this Packers defense the last couple of night, and Brian's going to give us a full-on preview coming up at 6:20 in Krusty's Corner.
I will be there.
Do you agree with me that their front is much better against the pass than the run?
I will say this, though, Dawson. Both areas are really, really tough. When you look at, and it just, I know I went through and I broke down the runs, and I was thinking, remember when Carolina came in here and they were number one in the league in run defense?
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, okay, that's just fool's gold.
It doesn't sound right.
Now, these guys, I'll tell you what's happened. There's a couple of things. Teams don't run the ball on them. They've had the third least amount of attempts on him this year. If anybody,
but Judkins was over five a pop.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they had to abandon him, but
what happens to teams, exactly, you get abandoned a little bit. But the thing that you really, really notice is, like, there's not a lot of successful runs. Cleveland had some. I was looking for runs. I broke it down to say, give me the runs that were 10+. I think I looked at five.
Okay.
That were 10+, you know, those chunk runs and stuff
out of
like
18
that.
Runs, that's not bad.
Not bad. But the thing that I think their pass rush is better, and But if you look at metrics say their successful runs of 4+, it's only 24%. That's number one in the league.
Well, their defense,
but they don't have a lot of runs against them.
Yeah,
that's another thing you got to kind of look at.
And they lead the league in not surrendering chunk plays.
That's true.
I think the explosive play rate against them is 1.8%, and it's the next really, closest
well, they play
is
a bunch of off coverage.
Yeah, they're over 78% zone.
Yeah, you can,
and they cloud their coverage, which that clouded coverage we talked about, where it's safety down and corner back to play the deep. You just kind of invert the two. They play a lot of that cloud coverage. This is what I kind of worry about with Dak. All of a sudden, you're throwing into, like, you're thinking, oh, wait, that corner's going to be there. In fact, it's a safety. And then
here's Xavier McKinney with a pick, or here's Quay Walker, you just got to be careful.
Got to be careful with that. But, yeah, I think they're a good defense because, A, they can pressure. That's the number one thing that they can do is, like, you know, 50% of the time, you're going to get some type of pressure from these guys. And it's usually four-man pressure, too. And that's a problem.
And it's not just Micah, I think, as we mentioned yesterday. They would have a pretty good pass rush even without Micah Parsons. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be a game where if you can establish the run and go play action, I'd love to see Dak 14-20 at the end of it.
I tell you, it would be nice to have a game like that. The problem is that if you're running the football, and I love running the football, but all of a sudden you get into a game where you're running and then all of a sudden you stall.
Yeah.
And then you kick a field goal. And then your defense three plays 75 yards and it's a 7-3 game. Yeah. Then you keep running the ball. Now it's 7-6 because something happens again. You get a holding penalty or something sets you back.
It's kind of what the script of the Bears game was. Yeah, they moved the ball well, they kicked two field goals.
And then it's 14-6 and now you had a good day running, but now Dak's having to throw to get back in the thing.
Yeah, and I think the biggest key to having success against Micah in the defense is actually playing decent defense yourself.
That's going to be, if Dallas's defense can, that's what Cleveland did. You watched the Cleveland game, which I know you did. Cleveland defense held them into the game.
They did.
Cleveland's scoring didn't happen until late in the game.
And you're not going to be able to do what Cleveland did. Like, they got so many dudes, they're running through the Packers' offensive line like it's Swiss cheese on some of those plays.
Yeah, you just the problem, too, is the Packers are really banged up along the offensive line, and they'll give up pressures. But the problem you run into, you trust your edges against tackles that are struggling right now.
Well, the Packers, to me, like, I'm seeing a lot of stuff inside. They're exploitable. So I'm kind of quitting on the Cowboys' edges until further notice.
Yeah, Votch did that the other day on our show.
You got Clowney showing up.
And I hope Clowney has 5 sacks on Sunday. I hope Clowney says, "Screw you, Micah. Hey, I'm the new king in town."
But this
game's about Kenny Clark.
I'd settle for a couple of pressures, to be honest with you.
Micah's not the only one with a revenge game. Kenny Clark's got a revenge game, too. And I think Kenny Clark, Solomon Thomas, though they're matchups to be won in the middle of that offensive line.
That's it. We walk you through these matchup problems that other teams have, and then at the end of the night, you're like MFing the team for not getting any of that done.
But it's been the edges not taking advantage of the tackles, not the defensive tackles. If that happens again, then we're totally effed, Brian.
I know.
But it does start, I think, with Clowney. It starts with the Packers' injuries. It starts with Bland coming back. But these coaches had to have learned a lot of lessons and are ready for a bigger batch of adjustments after the Giants and Bears.
Here's my question for you cats. Who needs to have a better game then? Is it Matt Eberflus? Or is it Brian Schottenheimer?
Eberflus.
Yeah, it probably is Flus.
You're going to have to win this game 20-17, and that would suggest Shoddy didn't have that great of a game.
And I think LaFleur has done an excellent job of calling games against the Cowboys historically.
I agree with you on this whole thing with Flus. I think Flus is going to have to play a game in this week that he's not familiar with. I think he's going to have to blitz more. I think he's going to have to play some more single high, and I think he's going to have to say, "I have to play man coverage against these guys."
Yeah, I think you really need a jam.
He's going to have to break every tendency that he's shown through the first 3 weeks of the season. I think it's important for him to play a very uncomfortable game and see if that works.
Yeah, you almost need like a buffer on the defensive play calls. And you'd be like, Eberflus, what do you want to run here? You'd be like, okay, we're going to run the exact
That's
opposite
usually the
play.
Head coach.
Like, just take like, every time. Click just over. Filter it through Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
Schottenheimer. One year of defensive consulting could come in big here for Schottie.
Yeah, what do you like here, Matt?
Matt, what are you going to play here? I'm in the zone. No, you're not. No zone. No more zone. We're not playing zone today.
Well, and they're talking about now they're doing one-word communication checks now in the secondary to try and limit the communication problems. I mean, Jesse Holly's been ripping them for this. Like, they should be embarrassed. That's some high school football type stuff right there.
It is.
Whatever it takes.
Jesse was getting on him about wearing bands, the wristbands and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
man. Jesse's
like
having
fun. Mozzie had a play sheet.
Yes.
Like he was a quarterback.
He doesn't know what's going on.
Mozzie had a play sheet.
Taped to his belt.
Well, what about this other stuff they're doing at practice today? What did I see from Calvin Watkins?
Making it rain?
With the dollar bills,
what's
y'all?
Going on?
I think
it was a part of the fun at the beginning where they play the music and the guys jump on the bags, and this time they were playing Lil Wayne's Make It Rain. So they were throwing cash?
Yes, that's exactly
what they were throwing fake money.
Monopoly
it's
money?
Not something I've seen before. It was very unique.
Coaches threw money as offensive players were running over tackling dummies.
Well, how about winning the game? You know? That'd be really nice.
Well, just keep the vibes high.
I'll give it to Shoddy for keeping it fun through failure.
If he could come do the damn post game show for me, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna make it fun for everybody, not just for the poor, you know, guys here and gals that have to do the post game show after you kind of give it up to somebody.
All right, what is George Pickens ready to step into? Dak was asked about him. He said very comfortable, very confident in what he's going to do, where I expect him to be, where he expects the ball.
Damn.
George was talking about how he just wants to get the win, but he is ready for an expanded route tree there if they need him to do that with CeeDee Lamb out.
Nobody moves less in a formation than George Pickens.
Yeah, it's going to hopefully change.
Nobody goes in motion less than anybody in the NFL than George Pickens.
Oh, really? He's just the standalone.
And
you line up right there, and that's it, George.
He's Marvin Harrison. He's going to play. He's just got one side of the field. He doesn't. They don't move him. And I don't know. You know, it's difficult because, to me, you could kind of, you know, you need somebody to play out of the slot. And George just doesn't have that. He plays on the outside. He doesn't move a lot, but he's a hell of a player, man, and the routes and stuff, it's just not what you have with Lamb, and the more you watch him, the more you kind of realize that.
He's going to have to feast on these out routes.
They're going to have to play
8 to 10 yards off, and they had some success, Cleveland did, using that. They're going to have to get the ball out quick and hit the outs.
Yeah, but I wish he could play in the slot and move and motion and stuff like that, but they just don't do it with him, and I don't know if that's something that is something that he's just against, or does your football IQ keep you from doing that.
What do you guys think about this stat here? The Packers have never lost when playing at AT&T Stadium, a record of 6-0. Doesn't that just make your blood boil, Chuck?
It's a home game.
Which was the worst one? Was it the playoff game?
Yes.
Or was it the playoff game where Aaron Rodgers was held onto the ball?
16 was worse. Yeah. 16 was worse.
Really?
Because it was close all the way through. And then they have an epic
comeback. Yeah, and then
comeback.
It's like a great player made
they have
a great
an
play.
Epic comeback. Well, Jeff Heath had what should have been a sack,
that ball,
strip
that,
fumble.
That ball should
I mean,
have
it
been,
was yeah. like play after play. It wasn't just the Jared Cook thing, but the fact that they came all the way back, they tied it, that hurt more. You had a whole three quarters to realize this is just a dumpster fire in the 2023 game. The 16 game. After you were the number one seed, you were 13-3 at a first round bye.
That was bad.
That hurt more.
I measure it on fun, though. In the 16 game, you had about 3.5 quarters of fun. You know, you thought you were in it. Life was pretty fun. Here we go. Aaron Rodgers made some plays. All right, it happened.
Well, the first half was brutal. You were not in it in the first half.
I tell you what.
Fair enough. But there was 0 seconds of fun in that 23 game.
If it turns into the game like it was in this last playoff game, you're staying to do the post. I'm taking your role and going home.
All right.
We're going to flip roles for
all right.
this
That's
one
a deal.
Game.
That's a deal.
Screw you. You are not leaving me there.
Eric,
I'm not doing this
staying,
by myself.
I'm leaving.
How about this stat, though? Home underdog 16-36 against the spread in, not to steal your thunder, Brian, Ron Torbert officiated contest.
Yeah.
The Cowboys are 1-5 in Torbert games.
He's hard to deal with.
In the Dak Prescott era.
Yeah, he's not. He's not friendly.
That is an omen of bad things to come. All righty. Jerry Jones with KNC tomorrow at 10:30. Stephen Jones will join us tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. We'll have a shorter show going into the Cleveland pregame at 5:30. tomorrow. Jamie Benn's going to undergo surgery for a damn collapsed lung.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
Jim Nill announcing that he was diagnosed with injury late in the preseason game Tuesday night against Minnesota.
Jesus.
Expected to make a full recovery, be reevaluated in 4 weeks. He's 36 years old and is going into his 17th season.
How would you like to be that guy that, like, yeah, we have an upper body injury? Everybody's like, oh, wow, upper body. Yeah, he had a collapsed lung.
Yeah.
That's crazy, a lung collapsing in a game like that.
Yeah. Must have been a hell of a hit. And what about Bochy today? Asked about his status. He said season's not over. It's something we'll talk about when the season is over.
I don't think it'll be quick.
which means, I guess, Sunday afternoon, he'll probably tell the reporters, well, it's not time to talk about it. I'm going to go talk with CY here in the next couple of weeks.
I wouldn't be surprised if the beginning of next week, the middle of next week, that we have an answer on that.
Yeah, I think so as well. And I'm pretty excited about, you know, the most likely replacement of him, Skip Shoemaker. I think manager of the year in like 23.
Yeah, with Miami,
with the Marlins.
He says I'm gonna stick with that right now, and we'll see if we can win a couple of games here, and that would be amazing. Salute to Bochy. I think the best manager to ever wear a Rangers uniform, but still, for my money, Ron, the best Rangers manager ever. If I can play games with semantics, we got the Jake Ferguson Show coming up here. It's the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Welcome back, Nation. It's time for the Jake Ferguson Show here on The Fan, brought to you by Ford, the official vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys. Ford's the best in Texas. And a good afternoon to Jake Ferguson. How the heck are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful, man. We mentioned the 14 catches through two games last week. Then you went out and put up another 13. What do you think about all the targets and the catches you're getting right now?
Yeah, I mean, never complaining about that. Obviously, I know a lot of them were, you know, check downs and stuff, but opportunities to get a little bit of yak and, you know, get after it. So, you know, never, like I said, never complaining.
Are you getting frustrated not being able to just wiggle loose in the open field and show off the yak skills?
A couple times, there's a couple shoelace ones that have got me down, and you know, maybe my ankle was twisting and I was just like, ah, but yeah, I'm itching for one. It's coming.
Where does that game rank on the most exhausted you've ever been playing football?
It was actually hot. Like, I'm a Midwest guy, but it was actually surprisingly really hot in that game. And then, yeah, no, I was cooked by there was one point, I think it was right before I had a catch. It was literally, yeah, it was. And I looked off to the sideline. I was like, God, like I just caught two of them or something. I was like, guys, come on. And he goes, one more. It's your play. I'm like, all right. And then I ended up catching it. But, yeah, that was.
Is that the toughest situation to be in when you're running, like you just know every play is going to be a 20, 30-yard run and just keep coming back and it's no huddle?
Yeah, I mean, that's a moment we call biting it down on the bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the racehorses.
Racehorses, you got it, man.
You just gotta dial in. But you know, that was a focus of mine this week, was a little bit of the conditioning.
How extensive is like the training camp conditioning tests? Like, how much is? I know you guys had to run gassers because y'all were all fighting with each other at one point in camp, which was fun. We appreciated it.
That's love, man. That's love. Yeah. you know, it's, you're definitely getting into that. Into the shape, you know what I mean? But I think, honestly, you know, I think there's nothing really like a game, especially when you go 2 minute and you know, you're 2 minute for more than the actual 2 minutes. Like, you know, majority of the games, I'm usually good. Like, I'm breathing. Don't get me wrong, I'll be breathing hard on a couple plays, but never like that, where it was, you know, 2 minute and then. I don't even remember how many catches I had in one of the drives, but then I had a couple just like love of the game routes is what I call them, and just clear out routes. But yeah, no, I was shot, but this week was working a little bit and had a couple good days. So, was able to run a little bit after practice. So,
okay. So Eric brought up fighting, and I remember reading this story in the morning news. Did you almost get punched by a mom at a peewee game?
Yeah, that's crazy. I did not know that got out there.
What a pull.
Yeah, that's a crazy pull. Yeah, I did. It was a JV football game. It was my freshman year, and I was a defensive guy. Like, the first time I started playing tight end was college. So I was always defensive. I mean, I had a couple offers for defense. I love defense. My whole family's defense. And that's what I love to do. And so this guy decided he wanted to run down the sideline. and I kind of hit him pretty hard, and he flew out of the sideline and was like, you know, I don't like seeing people get hurt, but he was, I mean, I think he had the wind knocked out of him. I don't know if he's out there listening, but hit him. And then all of a sudden, this lady came up to me and was like swinging on me, like probably got at least four or five good shots in before I even realized what was going on. And then like my guys got me or whatever. And I was like, what just happened? And then I went into our athletic director, and they're like, yeah, that's not the first time. And I was like, dang, all right. Yeah. So, no, it was crazy.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it was wicked.
Now, was this with your helmet was still on?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why I don't really care about it. Like, if my helmet was off, she probably would have pieced me, honestly. but yeah, I mean, I got my helmet on. She probably had some bruised knuckles after that.
She sounds like a baddie.
Little Milfy?
No, I'm engaged, man.
Yeah, good call. Sir, good
Jake answer. Ferguson Show brought to you by Miller Lite, proud sponsor of the Cowboys. It looks like everybody's picking the Packers here. What do you guys have to do to have everybody eating crow on Monday morning?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to execution, and it's, you know, honestly, it's next man up mentality. Like, you know, it doesn't matter who goes down. You know, this is the NFL. You're brought here for a reason. We got to have that mentality with some of these young guys coming up, and as well as like some of us older guys. Like, I can't believe I'm an older guy. just holding it down. You know what I mean? And it just comes, like I said, just comes down to execution. And you know, at the end of the day, just like not having any, I can't say what they're called, but shooting yourself in the foot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't have any of those.
The media, obviously, the big deal is the Micah return. Does that get annoying for you guys just hearing about Micah?
Yeah, I mean, every week we play good guys. Every week we play. It's just he was here. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Do you guys have something extra to make sure that he doesn't go crazy against you?
Yeah, man, we're changing our whole. I'm playing quarterback. And, no, I mean, you know what I mean. We're gonna play our game. We just gotta, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
execute. Like I said, that's what it all comes down to.
Have to get your thoughts. You know, a little time before you were here, Jason Witten, an all-timer for the Cowboys, nominated to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, or at least the next step in the process. What do you remember about Witt and your reflections on his career?
Yeah, so I'll say this first. Still have never met him, which I'm salty about. However, great player, and, you know, his ability to get open, you know, even in his, like, his long career, he was doing it the entire time. And then just, like, you know, they call tight end, like, the security blanket or whatever, mm-hmm. and then just having that relationship with the quarterback, like, that's my whole goal. Like, as soon as I got here, I mean, you see the posters of him up on the wall in here. But, like, okay, that's my goal, is to be, you know, for security blanket and, you know, be there when he needs me. And, you know, just try to be as reliable as he was when he was here.
Hey, Jake, you know, just kind of watching your guys, the games and the film afterwards, you know, on Mondays and stuff, you guys are doing a great job of working with these tackles on these down blocks and combo blocks and stuff like that. Is it something that is it just kind of a veteran thing? I mean, you got, you know, with Span Ford, he's, you know, in his second year
Monster.
Now, but but man, you guys are just hammering these edges, and the running game is kind of benefit from it. How has it been working with those guys? You know, with Steele and then Guyton.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a testament a little bit to our coaches. You know, Coach Riley and then Coach Wells, Lunda and Connor Riley in the tight end room and then O line room. You know, we don't just do individual. We have like little sections where, you know, we go work on that for,
right,
you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And, you know, we're really nitpicking the small details. But, I mean, like you said, Spanford, like, the dude's a monster. He's hungry. He's another Big Ten guy. And, you know, like I say, when you get Big Ten guys, you get some physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the whole Big Ten was built off gap scheme football. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's all we run. Power, baby. Like, that's what we started calling power this year, and I'm like, okay, now we're about to have some fun. So, you know, it's awesome watching those guys, and that's what they're built for, Schoon and Brev.
All right, Ferg, I got some of the fan question for you here on our Thursday visit with you, and Alex wants to know, it's a food question, how many tacos could you demolish in a single sitting, your choice of meat?
Okay. So are we talking the little mini tortillas, or are we talking
dealer's choice here?
Okay, we're talking mini tortillas. I'm probably double digits. It doesn't matter what meat is, it could be the carne asada, could be, you know, chicken, ground beef, whatever you want. I mean, mini ones go down quick, especially if you got a little cup of queso in there too.
Yeah, there you go.
Ooh.
You go queso over guac.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. queso is unstoppable. That's and then if we're talking like a big normal tortilla, like we're talking enchiladas or something like that, I could probably put down like 4 to 5.
Okay.
Yeah. I love talking enchiladas, man.
Yeah, dude, my mom makes a seafood enchilada.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you guys, what's the deal with these coaches making it rain on you guys today at practice?
Oh, with the dollars? I thought I had to stop for a second and see if it was real. I was about to start picking it up.
Collect.
Hold on a second. But yeah, it was obviously fraudulent. Yeah, no, that was crazy. They always come up with something for the little bag drill we do right after stretch.
How do you feel about Sunday night football? Anything extra on that?
Yeah, I try not to, you know, I like to stay calm, cool, collected, stay in the moment, but yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday Night Football is always awesome.
Well, best of luck putting on a show. Hopefully, you're feasting on plenty of queso in the form of a cheesehead fans there that might be invading AT&T Stadium.
Melt the cheesehead. I love that.
Yeah, let's go. Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you. Thank
you. Appreciate you guys. Yep,
there he goes. Jake Ferguson Show brought to you by Miller Lite, proud sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys here on The Fan. Okay, can we get an abbreviated G-Bag of the Day here, Lucius? Let's go in our pick
this.
Here's L.A.
Yeah. I can't believe Ferguson never met Jason Witten.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah.
That is wild, bro.
I don't know how much wit really comes by the facility anymore.
Carter just said the same thing.
Yeah.
Carter said, I don't think he comes out like that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Might be reclusive. Oh. All right, G-Pack, is that a terrible word, reclusive?
Not at all. Okay. Howard Hughes was.
Yeah, I kind of am myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
kinda
being
nice
at the house.
To be that way.
Yeah, don't bother me. Yeah. I'm safe in my own little.
Yeah. That's why I buy stuff and bring it to the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Deck the house out. All right, G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan 530, presented by Berkey's Plumbing, AC, and Electrical. My name is L.A. Lucius Alexander. This is day number 2 for this champion audio. Let's go to the morning show, the RJ and Choppy show. Which one of these fools is Chop? Shout out to Sean, Bobby, Peyton. Choppy is going to tell you a story about his best birthday. Oh, my God.
Well, my favorite birthday experience ever would be my first birthday experience in college.
21?
Okay. No, I was. I would have been 18. I would have been turning 18.
Okay,
that's when I had my first college dalliance with a lady.
Dalliance. On your birthday?
3 weeks into college, my first dalliance. My. We came home after a penny pitcher night. I had 7 pitchers of beer. She had 5. All right, so going back to the, I was walking her home.
Gosh, both of them just bloated.
Just absolutely just obliterated. And it took us an hour and a half to walk probably 3 city blocks.
Penny pitchers?
Penny pitchers. It was $5 to get in, and then penny pitcher, a penny a pitcher.
Nice.
Oh. You know, we went upstairs. We fooled around, and she kind of, sort of, peed on me.
What the hell did you just say?
She went to bed that night.
Not the way you wanted.
She went to bed. She went to bed.
Okay.
Why do you think she would be pissed off if you said it?
And then I told her. We wake up the next day. I said, you know,
no.
You went to bed. And she said, yeah, I figured I would.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
I said, I'm sorry, what?
What?
And she said when she drinks, she would do that.
Huh. Wow.
She would wet the bed. So she had, like, rubber sheets.
She had rubber sheets, bro.
She's prepared.
Six pitchers of beer.
I guess when you've had that much beer, it's not a huge surprise that she did pee on it.
Oh, my God.
I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that this was his favorite birthday ever.
Oh, yeah.
The most memorable.
He was still there in the morning.
Yeah.
He was like bragging. It's my third week in college, you know. Yeah. Finally got some.
Down here a couple years.
With the pee girl.
Didn't mind it.
I mean, five pitchers of beer, that's got to be at least 100 ounces. Girl can put it away.
That's a lot, bro.
I'd appreciate a warning at some point.
Come on, man. Be respectful, lady. You know you leaking.
You might want to go
home.
You
know you're leaking. You leak. It's six pitches and you leaking like that.
Don't squeeze her too hard.
Yeah. Tell me, lay you on the floor.
Oh, jeez. She must really, really like the post-coitus cuddle.
Get you an air mattress.
All right.
Yeah. All right, here's a homeless man that was sitting on top of a motorcycle outside of a bar. A whole lot of people walking by it. And they try to get that homeless man off of the motorcycle without putting hands on him. You know, it looks kind of dirty. I say that respectfully. He's been out in the wild. He's kind of feral at this moment.
So he's full Fred
Probably
Davis.
A stench involved.
Fred.
Yeah. And it's a nice bike he's sitting on.
Get your ass off that motorcycle. Get off of their motorcycle. Get off of their goddamn motorcycle. That is not... Boy, get off of their motorcycle. Bro, get off of his bike.
Hey, bro, get off his bike.
Get off of his motherfucking bike. Get off of his... That is not your goddamn property. Hey! Hey! Hey!
Yeah.
Man, you don't own nothing of the sort. You ain't got insurance or nothing. Get up. We gonna f*** you up.
Let him know.
Man, I'd appreciate the good Samaritans there because I wouldn't know what to do. You know? Some of these homeless guys can really take care of themselves, and they're aggressive.
Yeah, and they might be on that stuff that makes them stronger.
Yeah,
that's right.
Got to worry about that.
Yeah.
Hey!
Man, I was walking home from work one day in Portland, and I accidentally made eye contact with this homeless guy.
Oh.
He ends up following me all the way back to my apartment. I had to, like, dodge him, you know? Good thing I was, like, 26.
Did you say something to me?
Like, an hour later, I went downstairs to the grocery store. Bro was in the parking lot looking for me.
Yeah. Thanks for the ride, sir.
Yeah. Luckily, he wasn't that fast.
Shiloh Sanders.
He wasn't that fast.
Good for you, bro. I'd be still nervous. I would have been so nervous. I wouldn't think a serial killer.
Yeah.
Shiloh Sanders right here does an impersonation of his father while meeting some people out there in the wild. You seen this?
No.
I did. It's
but
great.
I've heard him do it before, and it's
smoked
amazing.
Smoked it.
You guys filming for?
Just YouTube. Huh? Do you know who Deion Sanders is? Mm-hmm. That's me.
Oh.
Nice to meet you. I'm Primetime. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Can I take your picture?
Hey, of course you can.
With you?
I'm Prime.
My husband won't believe he took our daughter to the park.
Most definitely. Primetime on three. One, two, three.
Primetime. Thank you so much. He's going to be so jealous.
Hey, most definitely, baby. You know what it is. Hey, good day and God bless. All right?
That's so good.
Good day and God bless.
That's so good.
That's great. Man, Shiloh's got a future in media.
Sure does.
Yeah, he does.
And the Niners just worked him out.
Did they?
Man, can he get on a practice squad?
Yeah,
I want him to be on a practice squad here in Dallas. Pretty soon we're going to need it anyway because it's going to be having low attention.
Yeah, he might be better than any of the safeties we've got.
All right, we got no doubt, man. He might be able to help. All right, we got to run, but we still got to get to LA Live and had Rangers earlier, so we'll take a quick break here. But is it the Champ Choppy? Is it the homeless person sitting on a motorcycle called out by the Good Samaritans, or Shiloh Sanders impersonation of Dad? I'm going to go with Shiloh here, Chief. How about you?
Give me the Champ,
Lucius.
Which one of these fools is Chop?
We'll check.
We go Shiloh.
It's tied, Brian.
Choppy.
By a score of 3-2, still your champ. It's RJ and Choppy from the morning show. Lucius, LA Live coming up next. One. Where are you taking
us? It's a ladies' night. Let's get into some chat GPT and AI stuff.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Back Nation here on The Fan. Had the Rangers' final day game of the season earlier today. That's why our schedule's thrown a little bit off. But it is time now for LA Live. Back into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius.
It's a ladies' night. Let's get into it right after the great Rick James.
Well, all right, you squares. It's time you smoke. It's time to weed.
fire up this funk.
It'll make you dance to some of everything. Everybody get high.
I just passed this woman out for a walk, and she was so pretty. And she looked great. She had on this super cute outfit. She was all sun-kissed. She looked like she had her life together. She just looked really happy. Her hair looked nice. She even had a little bit of makeup on, even though it's 98% humidity. Like, she didn't look like she was melting, you know, like the rest of us. And I thought, I'm going to say something. So I put down my window and I yelled, "F*** you."
Hey, this is LA Live for Thursday, September 25th, 2025. It is a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live. Shout out to all the Tolo ladies listening. Splash, all that good stuff. You are appreciated. Follow me at Lucky Lucius P. And shout out to L. Duncan with the red on today. My God. God, L. Duncan's face.
Beautiful.
My homeboy tried to diss me and was like, "Hey, you know, your girl looks like the Joker in the face, right?"
Beautiful smile. She looked hard for those teeth.
I was like, "I love it. Whatever, bro. Whatever, fam. Just hating. Don't want to see somebody happy." Good God. LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. Folks, we are in some scary times. Scary times. Be on the lookout. This is just a warning. They're now using AI for FaceTime and video calls.
Oh, bro, I saw
you this. Seen that? You seen that?
This is as I'm so glad I'm out of these out of these streets.
The game is nasty. They're not playing fair right now. Yeah, it is looking real okay, you can see where it's AI right now, but 12 months from now. Shoot, 8 months, 12 weeks from now, you won't be able to tell what that is, the way technology is moving.
I mean, dude, the clips that I saw, it was a dude that looked like a total smoke female.
Yeah.
Okay? It was a dude that
scary.
Looked like, and it looked normal, too. It didn't look like, wait, what's going on here?
Yeah, scary hours out here, bro.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's amazing what plastic surgery can do these things.
You can be sending all your Snapchat money. It's not Snapchat. What is it called? No, there's payments on Snapchat.
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans.
Well, Peyton got caught
Cash
on that.
App.
Peyton got caught up.
Yeah, Peyton did get caught
himself.
Up.
Yeah, he did. He did. He did. Be careful out here, y'all.
Yo. Somebody granddaddy is getting tricked with this software right here.
Guaranteed.
Be careful. Hopefully it won't be me. Hopefully it won't be anybody you know.
Hopefully it pushes us back to like real, you know, interactions.
Yeah.
If you can't trust anything on the internet, maybe we're like, hey, let's stop doing the internet so much.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking for any way out at this point.
I figured.
Well, because it was one of those things where I would imagine like you're on a dating app. And maybe you start conversing with somebody.
Yep.
Kind of the first thing to like get somewhat confirmation.
Because that's the clarification nowadays.
It's the FaceTime. And now all of a sudden they've taken that away from you. Now you don't even get that confirmation.
The Manti Te'os of the world have no chance.
Not a
whole new level.
I mean, they have the sport is evolving.
Yep.
The sport is evolving.
We got to catch
the sport of catfishing has evolved to its premium level.
I think Catfish just got canceled or something. Or they finished their last show.
Yeah, they did.
Run that back.
Run it back.
It's not over.
Run it back. LA Live 105.3 The Fan Ladies Night. There was a Virginia woman that won the lottery using ChatGPT. Huh? Yes, she won the lottery, Mr. Dawson.
Gave her the most likely numbers?
The ChatGPT picked the numbers.
Yeah.
It matched four out of the first five numbers, plus the Powerball number. Hold
okay,
on.
Nice little payday, six figs, right?
150,000 smackaroos they gave her. Miss Carrie Edwards. Yeah, she won on September the 18th. Let's listen to Miss Carrie. She's talking big.
I had my buddy ChatGPT help me with the numbers. Yeah.
Wow.
He said, you know, it's all about luck, right? He said, lucky is still lucky. But he said, here's some numbers you can play with.
And she did. So what's she doing with all that cash?
I'm giving it all away. $150,000.
Oh,
all away.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How are you playing the lottery then? How do I get in that mix?
You're right. That's what I'm thinking. I know somewhere you can give it away to. Yeah. I can show you the numbers. You'd be like, damn, for real? Is this how you're making it? Let me help you out.
That whole luck thing, I don't know much about it.
Yeah. I mean, now that she has ChatGPT, I mean, that's chump change. Who's going to get the next one, right? All six in the ball?
I need to start using my ChatGPT for real.
Old Broadus can't even get a push-up world record down.
I can.
Next thing you know, she's winning lotteries.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Have you guys ever seen that movie Jerry and Marge Go Large? It has Bryan Cranston in it.
So
Jerry
familiar.
And Large go Jerry and Marge go large.
Is that about the lottery system?
It's about the lottery. Dude was like a brainiac, old professor, cracked the code to the lottery. He's seeing like the patterns and put his whole town on it, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, that was making a whole lot of money. Go check that one out. Bryan Cranston, that's a good one right there, bro.
We used to call the big gals that like to party.
Oh, geez.
Large Marge, the party barge. Oh, or Choppy's college girlfriend.
The wetter.
She had to have been big.
Yeah. It wasn't a she.
Splish and splash.
There's almost no way. She
slip and slide. I mean,
she big splash. Yeah, slip and slide. Call her wet and wild.
Large Marge.
That is terrible, Large Marge.
I mean, Choppy's always been the golden boy. We were Gen X, you know?
Yeah, no, you guys were very toxic. Very, very toxic. My brother got me every day with something new. Especially, it was always the pillow, though. It always ended with the pillow. That was a finish move. Putting the pillow on and sitting on my face.
Yep. That's it. It's a child from the 80s right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Classic move.
He's the one that told me, hey, everything out here can kill you, by the way. I'm like four. I'm nervous, bro. Everything can kill you. Did you guys see that Flower Mound woman going viral?
Yeah. Googling.
You know what? Because you're an illegal, and you know what? You don't live in Flower Mound, and you're door dashing. You know what? Why are you entitled to be here with an illegal card? Go ahead.
I don't know.
You know what? I'll do that.
Just is homophobic?
No, speak English?
Yeah.
Well, then speak it.
But why?
But why? You know what? You're in Flower Mound.
She sucks so bad. What is an illegal car? How do you? What is that even?
She
like Mexico
though,
license plates.
She was running plates.
If Karen had a photo in the dictionary, that's exactly the photo that I would envision. How this woman looks.
She checked off all the stereotypical
all the Karen
boxes.
Oh man, yeah. The video became circulating Wednesday.
Somebody's making her life.
I think her daughter.
Her daughter came out and said, "Man, my bad, dog. Mom's tripping. She cussed me out a few times."
Like, I haven't talked to her in a few years either.
Can you imagine? You go back to high school the next day, like, bro, your mom. Everybody knows.
I'm always concerned my mother-in-law might end up in one of the videos because she loves to tell you about yourself. What's your deal? Excuse me. What is your deal? Shout out to Michelle. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I will be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I know, fam. I had some more, but we got to go. See you guys tomorrow on a Friday. Holla.
All righty. There it goes. LA Live most nights, 540 here in the G-Bag Nation. Had a little Rangers Day baseball, so we didn't quite get to execute the expressway in the ideal way. But we'll have more tomorrow. All right. The Around the Bases coming up next. Well, Chuck, you want to do some football fix? What you got cooked up
for us? Yeah, I'll do a little mixed bag here. We got to hear about what Marcus Semien had to say regarding this baseball team. The MVP race is heating up. And, man, shots fired at Anthony Richardson. That is next in the nation.
It's Hour 5 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time now for Wolchuk to deliver some sports. Here he is, Zach.
Marcus Semien had a visit with the media yesterday, and Sean McFarland went ahead and wrote a great article about it in the Morning News. Quote from Marcus Semien: "This team in general has a lot of work to do to get out of this funk we've been in for the last 2 years. We had a decent year this year, but this last stretch really hurt us. You think about these last 2 years, it's not where we want to be. We want to be in the postseason. I'm not the one making decisions about who's in this clubhouse. I definitely know the kind of team I want to play on. That's guys who are hungry and wanting to go for a championship every year." Interesting.
I love that.
Nuggets from Marcus.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he's been here a while. We haven't heard much of it. But, I mean, this quote here and then the story from a couple of weeks ago, where was it? Jeff Wilson reported that he's trying to get guys together, but they're just not getting the turnout for the team bonding off the diamond. Yeah, that makes me more optimistic about Marcus Semien. I hope he's still good enough as a player to command the attention of everybody involved, because desperately that's what this team needs. And I feel like in the clubhouse there has become sort of this, oh, well, we'll try our best, and if it doesn't go our way, fine, type of attitude. And I think you need some of that in baseball to insulate yourself from the grind, but you also need great leadership and urgency, and Semien's providing that.
Yeah, he is. It's tough to know for sure what's going on behind closed doors. Because I tried to ask around about, you know, the Jeff Wilson report, and some of it is, like, I don't know how well-liked Marcus necessarily is.
Oh.
So, it, like, because I love what he said there. You know, I want somebody to, because you're right, like, I wonder about the leadership void in that clubhouse, because Corey's not that guy. So then does Marcus have to step up and be that guy? But I wonder if some of that has to do with these younger guys maybe just not gelling and vibing with what Marcus is selling. So, I mean, I don't know if the Rangers are able to move Marcus Semien. I do wonder if that's something they would try to, because you could look at this two ways.
Yeah, you could.
Is he the problem? Or is everything he's saying right and they need to look in the mirror and maybe it's, I don't know who else it could be.
And they don't like being held accountable from a team leader.
Right. Yeah, right, 100%.
There's a lot of athletes on every team who sort of resent the leader because he's asking them to do more than what they're accomplishing.
Could this be him trying to kind of find a way out for himself?
Could be.
That, like, maybe that you're the squeaky wheel and you kind of say some things and then Manny goes, I'm not the one making the decisions, you know, but he's trying to maybe plant the seed that he doesn't want to be here anymore, but his contract is prohibited. Don't get me wrong.
Which is because I think that they have possibly tried. I don't have this confirmed by any means, but I do think that there has been if the opportunity presented itself and a team was willing to take on that deal, they would do it.
Right.
Because the play is not specifically offensively, it's not meeting the salary right now.
If
you could move him, you would.
Yeah.
And Major League Baseball is full of guys with a contract like this that were around 30 and you had to do way too long of a deal to get them because of what the luxury tax does, suppressing the annual salary. So how teams make up for that and give the player the value is, okay, well, we'll pay you like a superstar even when you're 36, 37, 38. And there's a massive downside to it. And if you don't have money like the Dodgers or the Yankees, you just can't buy yourself back into the game once those guys get, you know, past their expiration date as all-star level players.
Yeah, and it's tough too, like, to the idea that maybe they don't really like jive with Marcus. One, I think when it is difficult when you have a bunch of young 20 somethings, not married, no kids, and then you have a guy like Marcus, who we know is
family man,
super regimented, family man, different kind of deal. And I don't know that being the everyday voice and leader of that team is something that really comes natural to him either. Like, it definitely isn't for Corey, and I think to some extent, hey, credit to Marcus for at least, you know, maybe trying to. I just don't think he's the day-in, day-out voice of that team, and then all of a sudden you pop up in a random moment here or there, and it's like, well, I mean, okay, so now you want to kind of, like, try and be that guy.
And
you know?
I think the coaching staff, and maybe you get new coaches. I mean, maybe Boach is gone.
Yeah.
But, I wonder if it's a Marcus, if Marcus is more of the problem than he thinks he is.
I just wonder, though. My guy bats, like, he gets 600 at bats.
Mm-hmm.
He plays every day.
Yeah, there's respect for that.
I mean, there's, like, what do they not respect about him as a ball player?
I think might be at the...
I think this is all personality. I think it's personality driven.
I think because
I think negativity sometimes can be an issue. And I think that they wonder if that's, like, is Josh Young kind of that way as well when he's not getting the results? And is it something about... Because I know Josh has tried to emulate how Corey goes about his business, and that's not Corey's fault. But what Corey does doesn't work for everybody else, right?
Yeah.
So then you get the narrative of, like, okay, the Corey leadership stuff. They kind of came out.
Well,
you know, I know Choppy alluded to that.
He's not a leader, though.
No.
And he doesn't want to be.
Exactly.
But
he's the best player, so naturally it's like, oh, the best player needs to be the lead. But that's not Corey. And that might not be Marcus either.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is, and that is one of those intangibles that this team desperately needs.
Yeah.
And it generally does have to come from, like, it's cool, you got your glue guys, you got your vibe guys, whatever. They have their place and they're important, but you do need at least to be one of your clearly better players as kind of being that guy.
And I think Wyatt will turn out to be that guy.
Really? He's got to earn. I don't know about
Hey, I've heard why it is. The vocal leader type.
It's fair for us to be surprised by that, though.
I do.
But he's also so young right now, you kind of have to grow into that role.
I just kind of feel like that he's a guy that's kind of into his own self.
No, I think Wyatt's, he definitely has some of that natural born. That, I mean, that stuff that I had kind of heard when they drafted him that they liked about his personality, but then talking to people now, like, who could be that guy? The one name I got was Wyatt Langford.
Let me be honest here, and I totally respect your sources. I think that's wishing.
I think it's just hopium.
I think it's hopium. And I trust me, I'm not trying to kill your sources because you know that ball team. But I think right now that's like wishing that Micah Parsons would be a leader.
Yeah, and maybe. I mean, I think going into year three, they were hoping Micah would be that guy, and then they found out he wasn't.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm hopeful on Wyatt as well, but maybe that's something that they need to look at because they brought in like the good vibes guys. They brought in Peterson, they brought in Jake Berger, and that was something that when we were out there at spring training, it was all about, hey, we're going to have a good clubhouse. The clubhouse vibes are going to be good. We got people that'll keep everyone loose. I think now it's
maybe
like
that's what, maybe
less loose. We kind of need somebody that's going to go up and say, this is not acceptable, hold you accountable, maybe get into your face.
That's why I think Simeon's complaining. They got too many vibe guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe, you know, like I said, hey, Simeon, I
can't have too much vibe.
Well, I'm just saying though, to him, he is the one guy that I look at every day. I feel like whether he's good or bad, he's playing ball every single day. You know, he's out there every single day.
Yeah.
And you know, and maybe he's trying to make up for Corey and others, but I just kind of feel like that to me, he's the one guy that I kind of feel like that if he says something, I'm kind of believing what he's saying.
Yeah, I perked up when he said that, and then I didn't get quite the response I expected to in regards to just how how Marcus is viewed.
Man, I feel like I misevaluate this Cowboy team all the time, you know, which is like what I think, and then you hear stuff in the locker room, like, what?
It's tough. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Not being in that room every day is kind of
different. I like the quote that he said. But I don't know. Maybe
I do too.
Without knowing, you know, 100% how everybody else feels in that clubhouse and the coaching staff, maybe he is more of the root to some of the frustrations that he has than he thinks he is.
No,
I don't know.
Very well could happen. He also could be looking to try and talking his way out of this thing.
He absolutely could be. This is going to be a big time Sunday Night Football game, fellas, because Sunday Night Football is trying to make this like their Super Bowl. They are giving it the Super Bowl-like treatment, according to Fox Front Office Sports. NBC's bringing its entire Football Night in America pregame show to AT&T Stadium. Yeah. They're going to have their daily fantasy football and betting show, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, all going to air from AT&T Stadium. And the Cowboys have played on Sunday Night Football way more than anybody else in the entire NFL. They love having their Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football.
This is their opportunity because do we have any more Sunday games after this? This might be the one.
It might be the last one. They got two Monday nighters.
The one that doesn't get flexed.
I don't know if they're going to be a flexing team.
That is great news for the Cowboys, according to Mickey Fisher, who with Sean and RJ this morning said any big game Mike is not going to produce, you just have to attach a bowl to it,
mm-hmm.
and he'll put up a donut for you.
Yeah, they've got Minnesota.
Yeah,
they got the Vikings on Sunday Night Football at home.
Yeah, this might be the one time they say, we'll make that a...
Maybe.
We're going to make that a noon game.
I wouldn't mind it. 83rd time Cowboys are playing on Sunday Night Football. Next closest team, the Steelers, with 60 appearances. So the Cowboys, 23 more.
23, what did you say, 60? You say for
83 to 60.
83 to 60.
In terms of games played.
Yeah, 60 of those games have been against the Ravens.
Yeah, a lot of them. Absolutely, they've been against the Ravens. All right, speaking of the Steelers, Mike Tomlin. Just putting Anthony Richardson on blast. Did you guys see this? He takes to the podium, and he just had this sideswipe of one Anthony Richardson.
In the short term that Carson is playing for him, we were in a similar situation a year ago. We were playing in Indianapolis, man, and I commented to the guys that, you know, keep Richardson upright. Don't put Flacco in the game, and, you know, Flacco ended up in the game.
And then he did end up playing much better, but he was saying this in terms of like J.J. McCarthy getting hurt, and now they have Carson Wentz. And so maybe this ends up being a good thing for Minnesota because he's liking what he saw from Carson Wentz. He's got respect for Wentz.
Is this a Dublin game? Are we in Dublin for this
one?
Yeah,
this is Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, this is going to be like 8:30 a.m. breakfast kickoff.
Yeah, I love Dublin it. Game, I love
maybe he's worried about Max Brosmer, who's Carson Wentz's backup.
Good Lord.
Keep Carson upright, guys. You got to go Brosmer there, don't you? Probably.
Man,
Minnesota Gopher. Golden Gopher.
That's who that is?
Yeah, Max. I saw him at the Shrine Bowl.
That's right.
Spit it a little bit.
Kenny.
How can I not remember these names?
Max Brosmer. Yeah. Richardson, by the way.
I think it's age more than the weed.
Anthony Richardson was 24. Yeah. The age more than I think it's the Blue Dolphins coming back to bite him.
Oh, there's no question about that.
There are some effects.
The days of the Baton Rouge Zoo. On the
All of a sudden
slopes.
He wakes up and he's starting to get a little tingle again.
Yeah.
Richardson was pretty good before leaving that game, though. 3 for 4, 75 yards, 24 on the ground.
Maybe he just got tired, I think.
She just retired. That's when he tapped out. Yeah, he just said, I'm done.
Oh, that was that?
It wasn't the tap out game.
They literally...
He legitimately got hurt.
The whole plan was to keep him upright, and you literally had him tapping out.
He took himself out of the game. He ruined it for all of us.
How disrespectful is that? Like, hey, defense. Like, obviously, we want pressure the quarterback or whatever, but like...
Hold him up.
Really, please keep him upright. Like, imagine he's got a red jersey on. Matter of fact, can we get him one?
Yeah, it's nuts. All right, let's hear from Darren Woodson. This was yesterday.
I think Eberflus might be saying that to our guys.
Maybe.
Keep these quarterbacks up.
Just make sure, you know, just don't hurt them.
Don't hurt these
guys. We don't
want
the backups coming in the game.
We don't
want
to see
these backups. That would explain a lot, and that would make me feel better about the situation.
I was going to ask Ferguson. He said he played some defense. Could he get out there and get on the edge?
The most asked fan question was, like, is there any way he can play corner? Can you play defensive end? And I just didn't want to just rip on the defense too bad in front of him. I think he knows they got issues on that side of the ball. He's a pretty self-aware guy. Here was Woody. 25-year anniversary from George Teague defending the star was yesterday.
I was there.
So NFL Films went ahead, asked Woody about it. This was his thoughts.
I got ejected, so I don't remember much of it. Look, I was looking to get kicked out, kind of. Look, I was looking for a fight. We were getting our asses thumped, right?
And flags come flying. One of the Cowboys kicked the ball after it was placed down by the officials. Let's take another look.
Yeah, here's Woodson right here, and there's Jeremy Newberry steps right on his groin, and I don't think that was intentional either.
The referee gets in the way, and I kind of bumped the ref.
Oh, yeah, you go.
I just went in on the ref.
Darren Woodson better watch out, or he's going to get himself tossed out of here.
I remember the ref saying my name, not Woodson. He called me by my first name. The referee said, Darren, you're out of here.
Oh, now he throws his helmet.
He'll be gone now if he hasn't been ejected already.
I never been kicked out of a game.
Right.
I didn't know what to do, so I get in the shower. All of a sudden, boom, George Teague walks in. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's so upset. He's so pissed. He can't even talk to me. Ask him again, what happened? He's like, man, I don't want to talk about it. So we both just left.
You left the stadium?
We didn't know what to do. We didn't know what. I mean, we were just sitting there. What are we going to do? We can't watch the game. We can't walk back down. We're just going to sit here? So we left. And that's when I saw, when I got home, I saw the replay.
In real time, he didn't even know about the George Teague attack on T.O.
I'm not trying to make myself part of this story, but I was actually in the locker room when this happened.
Okay.
I went down from the press box because I wanted to tell Woody, like, because he's my favorite player. Yeah. So I wanted to go talk to him. I'm like, hey, man, thank you for, you know, having the honor you did and all that. And he came out of the shower, and Teague came in, and he looked at Teague, and Teague, he's like, hey, what happened to you? And he goes, I got kicked out. And he goes, it's about effing time that somebody got pissed off around here. Ooh. And then that's when... They're right. They both just kind of, told them goodbye, but I was down there talking to Woody when T got kicked
That's
out.
That's crazy.
And they did. They were both kind of sitting there, and Woodson was so, I mean, he was beside himself. I apologized again for having a terrible team. You know, I'm like, listen, I'm really sorry.
I mean,
sorry.
The thing was deteriorating.
That guy's like a Hall of Fame defensive player. And we had this horse S team.
That game was gross.
God.
But it did give me one of my favorite Emmett moments ever. Where after he scores, he goes right back to the star, takes off the helmet, slams it on the star. I mean, that's a beautiful, beautiful image. Unfortunately, the game was just awful.
It was terrible.
It was, but a terrific story from Broadus there.
I did. It kind of made it even better now.
Well, no, I thank you for doing that because, like I said, I went down there to tell Woody, you know, to apologize and to tell him, you know, how sorry I was. And then that's when Teague comes walking in. He And he goes, hey, it's about effing time somebody got mad around.
Yeah, and credit to Woody for not going full Bill Parcells on you in there when he had the opportunity.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Post
no, I mean, he was leaving, and then I was just sitting there. I was watching the game on the TV in the locker room. I was just sitting and just kind of waiting, just seeing what was going to happen. And then that's when Teague did the whole thing where he got after T.O. And
it was
then,
great.
Man, I was like, holy geez, yes, it would just happen.
Well, it's about damn time we get some Krusty's Corner, Brian. Where
yeah, hey, let's talk about this Packers defense. We'll do that next.
Okay, I'm going to chat D&M Leasing with you, though, before we get anywhere else. If you're on your way home and you would rather it be in a different vehicle, D&M Leasing can make it happen for you right now. Just give them a call. I was actually on the phone with them yesterday, so tell them I said hi. But they can put you in any make, any model, foreign, domestic, car, truck, SUV. Maybe you don't know exactly what you want, but you know a body style or you know a payment that you want to be in around. D&M Leasing can explore all of your options, all the best manufacturers, rebates, and customize the perfect leasing plan for you to get the vehicle and the monthly payment that your family needs. 972 or 817-35 lease. You can call D&M right now. They'll get you on the horn with an agent, and you're going to have it made in the shade when it comes to acquiring new vehicles. There's no better way to do it. You sign the documents in a phone app. All you do is you call them, about 10-minute phone conversation, tell them what you want, tell them what you're trading in, and then you just go back to doing your night, you know, or your weekend, whatever it is, and D&M Leasing is going to bring that brand new vehicle to you. They also have lease returns. Maybe you want pre-owned, save even more money. Here's the number once again, 972 or 817-35 lease. Tell them I said hi. Go to dmautoleasing.com. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bank Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Monster game coming up with the Packers. You know, I think this is a chance to reverse course, to correct your trends, to show that what happened against the Giants and Bears was preventable. And that we can get everybody on the same page. And how amazing would it be to be broadcasting Monday at 2-2 with the Panthers and Jets coming up in back-to-back weeks? Let's do a deep dive on how possible it is for the Cowboys offense to have success against this Packers defense with Brian Broaddus and Krusty's Corner. It's brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty is going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you much for playing that, Lucius. Thank you to Dawson, Bobby, Chief. Appreciate you putting that thing together. Thank you to Reliant as well for being a part of this. All right, guys. This thing ain't all about Micah Parsons, man. They got some ball players on the side of this defense.
Do they now?
They do. And it's really going to be about how well can you handle what they throw at you. And I'm not saying throw at you from a blitz standpoint. I'm just saying, are you ready to play against a defense that will rush four and the linebackers do a good job of getting downhill and playing the run? When you talk about Walker and Cooper.
Yeah. Walker is a big hitter.
Yeah.
I freaking wanted Cooper, man, when they traded Micah. Why didn't we get that guy?
It is. Yeah, that would have been a nice get.
Kenny Clark's been pretty damn good, though.
They're
their best defensive player.
I don't disagree.
Get them both.
I kind of feel like, though, this secondary, it's kind of the no-name group. When you start to really dive in, there's not really a superstar player. Xavier McKinney at safety, I think, is pretty good. But Evan Williams, who plays free safety, is I just think he is okay. And I'm not going to sit there and say they're really great at safety, but I will say McKinney does have my respect.
They don't have a lot of work to do often.
Yeah, Nixon and Hobbs are the corners with Bullard as the nickel. And so, yeah. They,
my guy, Javon Bullard.
And we'll see every once in a while. Too, yeah, you'll see Valentine in there as well, number 24. But it's a secondary. It's really kind of feasted or really actually, benefited because of how good the front is. And I say the front, I'm talking about their ability to rush the passer. They've got several edges that can rotate. The thing that the things that people have done, and I can say Micah didn't play as much in the Detroit game opening day, but he did play quite a bit against the Commanders, and he did play quite a bit against the Browns. I think against the Browns he was playing hurt. His back was kind of acting up on him. There were a couple of times where they were chipping him. And, you know, sometimes Micah takes some funny hits when they chip him.
Yeah.
And he, you could tell his back. It was like he was running, and he all of a sudden that just quick stop because somebody hit him, and then it kind of jolts him a little bit.
Get him to take a knee a couple times.
Yeah, he pulled himself out of a couple of, but their pass rush with Gary and Parsons.
I was impressed with Van Ness against
Van Ness
played really well.
See, and talking to my guys in Green Bay about Van Ness, they were thinking, even before the season, they were thinking that Van Ness, it's kind of that, you know, in the media and stuff when it's like, oh, this guy's breakout. This is going to be a breakout guy. This breakout guy. They were really, really talking him up that, like, he was going to make that jump. I mean, he was a first-round pick in 2023, and they've kind of been waiting for him to do that. But everybody in Green Bay thought this would be the year, and then, boom, what do? They go trade for Micah Parsons. So now they've got some legitimate, you know, the pass rush guys to do
that. He looks the part.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Rashawn Gary has benefited the most. I think Gary's got 4.5 sacks right now.
Yeah, Gary's a very explosive player. And when it's, you know, when we watch these players, that the way that they come off the ball, and it's like they gain so much ground on that first step.
Yeah.
So like he's on the corner, and then he's. Now he's working to get around.
Making it so tough to get hands on him.
Oh no,
linemen.
It's crazy. You know, the really good pass rushers have that ability to gain a lot of ground and get right on that blocker and get to the corner, and then either dip it or just push you back. And Gary's got that. He's got that explosive step. Him, Parsons. We all know about Parsons and stuff like that. I'm interested to see what happens with Wyatt. The defensive tackle, he's a little bit nicked up right now. So their defensive tackle, him and Carl Brooks are the two inside guys. And I feel like they're pretty good players, but it's the ends, it's the linebackers, and it's really the one safety. I mentioned about the cloud coverage, talking about cloud. It's that look where you kind of, you know, you can play two deep out of it, and then you play the corner back and the safety down. And so keep an eye on that. You know, sometimes Dak loses track of where guys are. They're going to try and fool him with this cloud coverage, which they play about 36% of the time. You could see it on tape where, you know, usually the corners, you know, the corner's got that, you know, he's playing short and then the safety's playing back. Well, with the cloud, they flip it to try and make. You give it just a little bit of a different look. You're going to get zone about 80% of the time against these guys. They're going to play a lot of cover three. That's really that's the single high with the two corners. Four-man rush is really what is their biggest thing. And they're going to blitz. Their big blitz down when they do blitz is going to be the third down. That's right around 32% is what the metrics say there. So, that's kind of where their defense is at. The running aspect of this defense, like I say, I'm going to do things to try and take the ball at Micah Parsons in this one. And Dawson, like we talked about yesterday, when he's the backside, I'm going to try my best to be able to kind of try and take him out of the game with blocks, just continually chip him during the game. If you're going away from him, put a guy on him. If it's at him, put a guy on him. Just make him have to defend blocks the whole day. I would go, I'd hit him high, and I'd hit him down low. I'd try and cut him, make him play with his hands down. That will slow him up a little bit. We've seen some teams do that to him before, where he'll come around the end and then they try and cut him. And now he's like, now he's very mindful of like, oh, wait a minute. I could get, you know, if I come flying around that corner, I could get cut by somebody. So I would make sure that I do stuff like that in this football.
A lot
game.
Of Span Ford on him, maybe even some Hunter Lipke making his money.
I would absolutely. You know, to me, if you take the ball at him, it's try, you know, tie it in with the tackle, try and push him, just try and push him, and then make him have to come off with his sore back. Make him have to come off and try and reach a block as he's reach for a tackle. As he's playing the block, might be a way to kind of get him out of there. But they're the 30th ranked team in the NFL with rushing attempts against them. They get teams that get behind in games, and they just have to throw the football. Be interested to see if Dallas could be able to handle this. But they're one of the best in the league. Matter of fact, not one of the best. They are the best in the league when it comes to successful runs. I mentioned they're right about 24%, which is the it's first. Their run steps are right around 18%. Those are plays at the line of scrimmage or negative plays. And then when you're trying to run outside against these guys, it's been kind of a trouble because teams have run the ball 34 times against them for only 134 yards.
Yeah, watching Cleveland, Judkins, it was the interior runs.
It was the interior
that
runs.
They seem
to
have the most success with.
Yeah. So that's kind of where they're at, and now you have to kind of figure out, you know, when we talked about this yesterday, where do you want Micah Parsons to rush from? If you're the Cowboys, how do you try and set things up to maybe make him have to, you know, can you make sure he's on the outside? Does that help you, or do you want to make sure he's on the inside? But you're going to have a plan for him. There's just you're going to have to drag him off this field in this football game. But I did notice, like I say, the back was bothering him in that Cleveland game, and it was because they kept hitting him and hitting him and hitting him.
Well, that's your opportunity right there, I think, is to run at him. Let me ask you this. Would the Cowboys be interested in running at him so much that depending on where he's lined up, they could change the running plays, flipping a running play? Because you're going to have to run this team, I believe. Yeah. If you're going to have success on them and set it up for play action passing, because like you mentioned, they have guys whose names I think are foreign to the average Cowboys fan who will be in Dak's face.
Yeah, that's the thing that I would try and set up is if you could get some running game going. But the problem with this, it does kill clock, but man, you can't kick field goals, especially with the way. Now, if you could tell me your defense could get one or two stops a half, you know, if you get maybe two stops, three stops, make them punt at least three times, you know, that's kind of your path for victory. But the teams that Dallas has had trouble with are the ones that have been able to score basically on every possession or near every possession, and now they're having to chase and it takes them out of that running game stuff.
I mean, I know we have to consider it, but with a compromised offensive line, Jordan Love with Reed out, They should not have the weapons to light you up. If they're going to go out there and light you up and you're worried about kicking a field goal on one possession, so you got to go for it on fourth and six because you're terrified of them holding the ball, just pack it up and go home.
If I'm shoddy, I kind of coach this game differently. I'm more interested in maybe taking a Dan Campbell approach.
Yeah.
You know, now, their defense, I think, is good. Their offense, as you mentioned, Dawson, lacks some weapons right now. I do worry about the tight ends, but maybe it's one of those things where you Dan Campbell this thing up and just try your best to keep going for it on fourth down and just try and hold the ball as long as you can and finish drive with some points.
And Zach Tom, his backup, Anthony Belton, and then Aaron Banks again. They're
struggling
today.
They're struggling, and that's the problem that they have. They, you know, if you, their offensive line is really beat up, but do you have the pass rushers to be able to affect the way that they play? I think Matt Eberflus, I said it earlier, I think Matt Eberflus is going to have to maybe do some things that he's uncomfortable with. The man coverage stuff, I think he's going to have to blitz more. You know, I think he's going to have to, because you could affect Jordan Love in the pocket. There'll be some poor throws.
You're not going to be a bend but don't break defense anytime soon.
I don't think so.
What do you think about Jadeveon Clowney saying, how much of a difference could he have made against Chicago? A lot, man. Just bringing my energy, my effort out there. I think that's going to be enough for me. Just let my play do the talking.
I mean, yeah, you have to hope that Clowney, Bland, and Diggs, and then lessons learned from Giants and Bears. Just evaluate that. The new guys coming in with Bland rejoining the secondary and Jadeveon Clowney.
We don't
18%
know,
of your starting lineup.
Yeah, we don't know about with Clowney what you expect. You would hope that he could come in and give you something against a couple of tackles that really have struggled. But, you know, that's you need that. But I think you're going to need this secondary. To me personally, I'm not really interested in taking Stewart off the field at the nickel. You know, I'm more likely to keep Stewart at nickel and let Bland and Diggs play on the outside. And then we always talked about maybe using Elam in a way of maybe using him against Tucker Kraft, the tight end. Maybe put a bigger corner on Tucker Kraft and try and limit the number of passes he sees.
I mean, injuries are a big part of this equation already, just three games in. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. He previewed the Packers offense for you yesterday. That was at 3:40 if you want to go back and watch with the Odyssey app or YouTube or whatever it is. But Cowboys Wire today, let me see if I can. This was Katie Drummond. 10 players the Cowboys are desperately waiting to return to the field. I know in the offseason I had the most unwelcome explanation for Cowboys' failure, and it was that they're basically leading the league in losing all pros and Pro Bowlers to injury over the last 4 years. I don't even know how you begin to try to fix this. Obviously, there's that annual player survey that doesn't rank their training staff very high, but I think that comes down to personnel. They did a really nice job from about 2015 to 2020 limiting the injuries, and I know they did it, you know, through the draft. It was kind of a personnel thing. But listen to this. How much would Josh Butler help? I think quite a bit. Kalen Carson, I'm not sure.
Nah, he's not as good as we thought he was right now.
Jonathan Mingo would help you in the running game. Mm-hmm. And then this is the top seven guys missing. Siobhan Revel, rookie corner, I think he would help. But it's hard to know for sure. Cooper Beebe is out. Perry and Winfrey. DeMarvian Overshown. Tyler Booker, Deron Bland, and C.D. Lamb. I just think as much as coaches love to say next man up, the deck is stacked significantly. It's a lot. And I'm not giving up hope. I think it's interesting that the line went up to 7.5 some books. I saw it today on BetOnline back at 6.5. Mm-hmm. I think that Cleveland loss exposed quite a bit about the Packers. They look like a runaway freight train, but now that plus the injuries, maybe the injury to Reed at wide receiver, their leading receiver from 2024 is going to make them at least beatable if you can get some stops. All righty, we're coming back to Cross with Fred and Blake, see what they have cooking here for you coming up in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys. But I want to chat about Men's T Clinic before we do anything else, because if you want your edge back, if you want to live that young alpha version, you know, where you just had more energy that you knew what to do with, it's possible, and it's just one phone call away. Men's T Clinic, 972-GO-MEN'S-T. Look, you know, we get a little bit older, and by the time we're into our 30s, actually, our bodies are producing testosterone at a much lower rate. And if you get around middle age or something, you could be operating at quite a deficiency, and the consequences are significant. You know, quality of life, zest for life, drive, libido, that all comes down to the testosterone. And Men's T Clinic can make sure that you have it as much as you need and more. You know, if you're looking around your midsection, you're packing on extra belly fat, if you're losing muscle mass, you don't have the focus that you used to when you're out there trying to close deals or be a weekend warrior, it's likely testosterone. And Men's T Clinic has set the industry standard. They have the best medical professionals on staff, and their 5 DFW locations make it so easy for you to get in, get out, get back to being you. Testosterone's not all they do. Hair replacement, bedroom wellness, natural regenerative therapies for joint pains that pro athletes use to get back in the game. They got it all at menstclinic.com. Salute.
I'm just leaning into things.
Man, Blake's really trying to prep out the show and turn into a sports radio pro.
He is. I appreciate it. I mean, he's definitely, like I told him, he went from being laissez-faire to OCD in a matter of 2 weeks, to where I literally had to tell him the other day, like, bro, we got to dial this thing back a little bit.
Me and
like,
Fred were in the parking lot after Thursday or Friday show, and I thought Fred Mondays. Was going to break down with Mondays. Anger. Monday?
Monday.
No, it started in the studio, actually.
Yeah. It was like a loving anger. It was like, bro, you are killing me, but I love what you're doing, but you are killing me.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just trying to find a good balance.
We're just trying to find that happy medium.
Starting Monday, Fan After Dark, Monday through Friday, man. No more off days. So just, you know, I'm excited.
You're not like messing with the show in a bad way, are you?
There will be no more entertainment, no more fun, no more giggles. Well, it'll be straight numbers. No,
yeah,
no,
that's what we thought.
No,
yeah.
No.
Just get well, the
and
date
that's why,
in
and
here.
That's why he and I had to have that sit down.
No.
Because
no.
I said, look.
More of a stand up.
Let's not.
So you're telling me I'm going to miss this. Okay. Hey, but before we go, I want to ask you this question. You know, that. Yeah, it's like we tease something and then, hey, we're up against it. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you.
Well, and see, that's my style.
Yeah.
Right? And we can't neuter that. And so, you know, again, we've had to, you know, find that happy medium.
Yeah.
And
I like it when you tease, like, you know, maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't.
Hey, we paid off a 9-month tease.
Yeah, that happened.
We paid off a 9-month tease on Sunday.
Mangina?
We paid off the Mangina tease.
It took till Sunday?
Yeah.
We're 3 weeks in the season
and you know why
before you paid that off?
And you know what was so great about it was that he actually talked about Ben Johnson in said clip.
Oh, this is Man Genius?
The Man Genius.
Okay.
Talked about how he, you know, gave Shoddy his first OC job.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Uh-huh.
So, look, there's a method to the madness, boys.
There's some poor equipment guy that's telling a story about old Mark. Like...
Wait, no. Not Mark Mangino, dude. Eric Mangini.
It's Mangini.
Oh, I thought you were talking about...
There's only one Man Genius.
Oh. I thought it was Mangino, too, for 40 of that 9 months.
Because you're a Kansas guy, I thought you were talking about the coach that was wiping his rear with the towel.
With the towels? Yeah, no, I mean, that is a great story, too.
Okay, that's a good segue.
My bad. Mark Mangino. Okay.
I'd like to take you guys back about 2.5 hours to Fred entering the room and demanding answers from Broadus on calling him out for his hygiene. Yeah. Do you feel a little threatened there? Is that bad for your dating life?
No, I could care less. By the way, there's another toothpick right there.
Yeah, I wanted to get Blake's thoughts on this as sort of an independent and objective observer.
Okay.
Who've been working with Fred for about a year or so now.
Okay.
Broadus is saying,
changed the way
Broadus is alleging his hygiene might be as bad as RJ Choppy's due to the toothpicks, the tank top Thursday that's in effect, and just some general unkemptness.
What does a tank top have to do with hygiene?
You got sweat and all kinds of stuff, hair on chairs and
gaslighting, as the kids say.
Is that pubic hair?
No.
But I have yet to hear anybody say, oh, hey, Fred, you left...
You know why, Fred? Because
chair.
Because no, Fred, toothpicks right here.
Yeah, I copped to the toothpicks.
Fred, we're like,
did I cop to the toothpicks?
You copped. I don't think there's recovery from the toothpicks.
Did I cop to the toothpicks?
Thanks to the DNA
Fred,
test.
I think you're. It's kind of like a bat flip to you now. It's just like show done. I'm gonna bat flip my toothpick into the middle pit.
Nope, don't do it. Don't do it.
They're right there. It's like a Lincoln launch set.
You pointed at one.
Fred, there was one. Oh,
more pickup sticks.
Chief's trying to do a live read, and he looks down. And he sees.
Yeah,
like,
he said there was one on a remote. Okay,
it was on the. It was on the mouse.
That was a weekend show.
Fred, it was on the mouse.
It was on a remote. I get it.
It was a weekend pick, dude. It wasn't even a weekday pick.
That's right.
Eric was on the mouse.
It was on.
Look, I could be burning heaters in here. You know, I mean, you gotta get, you know, 6 to 1, half a dozen to another. I've been a smoker for 30 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Trying to quit. All right. I have.
Way to be vulnerable.
You want us to feel sorry for you?
No, I don't. Yeah, what's happening now? I mean,
you got a Lucy on you?
Huh?
You got a Lucy on you? You got to be like 42. When did you start smoking? Like sixth grade?
14.
Okay.
14.
I mean, it was the 90s. It was a different time. We had a smoking section.
The
high schools we went to, you could have smoke breaks.
Yeah.
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 All right? It was a different
world. You took full advantage of that.
You did.
The Salisbury State.
It was more after school that I imbibed and did the things I did. So.
What was your last heater?
Straight.
Last heater.
Earlier today.
That's why there's no toothpick going on right now.
There's no toothpick.
Earlier today was over getting my truck squared away, and you know, I mean, what better? I mean, have a square hanging out your mouth while you're, you know, working on your vehicle.
Yeah.
Duh.
No, that's a good point.
It goes hand in hand.
I mean, that's a given. Come on.
What's coming up on the show tonight, Blake?
Exciting Blake. Stuff. 8:00, my boy Kyrie Irving ahead of schedule on the ACL recovery, so we're going to cover how the Mavs are looking.
Gotta touch your having him on.
Come on. ESPN Top 100 came out, how many Mavs players are in the Top 100. We'll be excited to talk about that. My boy Fred's got a guest from the Green Bay Packers coming on at 7:40. Who we got coming on 7:40?
Gabe Neitzel. Gabe Neitzel, who does the morning show.
Yeah.
So
now, do you resent that you spent 20 years learning radio and Blake stepped in and he's basically showing you how it's done within a year?
Is there a little bit of that? Is that why you broke down on him in the parking
Fred's
lot?
Fred's the goat.
No, there was no
none of that.
There's no resentment.
No resentment.
I mean, I know my style works.
Stern distinction up
940,
right there.
940, extra credit.
I mean, I got Brian and Fred going earlier. Thought I'd try to go back to back there. He stiff-armed it.
It's pretty good. I'm very resentful.
That's good teammating.
You know, you don't want to go overcorrect one way or the other.
No, you're right.
You know,
right. No, you got it. Down.
Steady Eddie. Yeah,
I love your guys' show.
Come on,
yeah,
it is a good show.
That's why you don't want to structure. Overdo it.
It is a good show.
So, thank you.
Can I ask y'all a question? Do we have a second?
Yeah, we got a minute.
What?
Yeah, we have one.
60 of them. The Eberflus talked about the communication or the lack thereof. Do we feel like the defensive communication problems will be fixed? Not saying the defense will be better. I'm just saying communication. The one word stuff that came out the last couple of days. Do we think the defense will be fixed? As far as how they play on Green Bay, execution-wise.
I think they got to play a totally different way. I don't think they can play too deep and think things are going to be okay.
Too broken to fix in 1 week.
Yeah,
but Bland gives me a little bit of hope.
Like, I'm just thinking less about the players and just more about how it looks optically. Because, like, they don't even look like an NFL defense right now. It's not even like, oh, if they had this player, they don't even resemble an NFL defense how they played against the Bears. So I just hope it's not embarrassing on Sunday.
All right. Looking forward to it. The Fan After Dark 7 to 11. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup Master Control. Just went 2+ flawless. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chiafalo and Broadus. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 5:30. Steven on at 3. Till then, you're going home with the nation. Addies.
All right. Let's talk Trajan Wealth, though, shall we? That's TRAJAN. Don't fumble your retirement. Call the team at Trajan Wealth today. That number to call for a free consultation. 469-579-3500. That's 469-579-3500. I've done it. Couldn't be happier. Got some peace of mind thinking, man, I might actually be able to retire one day. For Trajan Wealth, I didn't think it was going to be possible. I go to the Frisco location, see my guy Steve Shelby. They also have offices in Arlington, Fort Worth, McKinney, and Eric. You pop into that South Lake one from time to time.
I sure do. Shout out to my guy, Brandon Gerfen. Got me taken care of at the highest level. Now I have the confidence and peace of mind that retirement's a possibility for me as well. Check them out at TRAJANWealth.com. Schedule that free, no obligation consultation, because at Trajan Wealth, your needs come first. They're a fiduciary firm, so they're going to be prioritizing your financial well-being above all else. And when you succeed, or the more money you make, the more money they make. So they want to see you win, and they're in this with you. Trajan Wealth is also family-owned. They're veteran-led. They've brought decades of experience to the table, and their team of advisors actually specialize in helping individuals in or nearing retirement. I mean, my goodness, trying to navigate the complexities of today's financial landscape. We all know that can be absolutely daunting, but great news for all of us. Trajan Wealth is here to help. 469-579-3500. That's 469-579-3500. Advisory services offered through Trajan Wealth, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Paid advertisement.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.